all of the town officials that are here tonight. There are fire exits in the rear where you entered, as well as in the front through the stage. Bathrooms are located immediately across the hall from the rear exit doors, as well as outside the cafeteria. I believe there are coffee and snacks available, but they weren't here when I came in, so good luck. There are also materials on tables where you entered about some of the warrant articles. You should feel free to peruse those. If anyone doesn't have a warrant, please raise your hand and a Boy Scout will bring one to you. Get some warrants to these folks over here, please. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Raise your cards if you need a warrant. In that vein, I'd like to thank Scoutmaster Peter Fishman, the members of Sudbury Boy Scouts Troop 63, for their assistance with the microphones during tonight's meeting. The scouts that are helping us tonight, Connor Ford, Ryan Grummer, Jed Howery, Alex Kilroy, Teddy Liza, Gavin Montero, Bailey Prince, and Colton Simon. Finally, I'd like to thank the staff and crew of Sudbury TV who do such a great job of bringing this and all variety of events to our homes via the Sudbury TV website and sudburytv.org. Thanks to staff members Lynn Puro, Cliff McGann, Terry Lockhart, and tonight's volunteer crew members Richard Pintal and Isaac Peters. One more thing before we get started. The Board of Selectmen and Town Manager remind you that the annual roadside cleanup will take place this Saturday, April 23. I'm sorry. Wrong. That's what happens when you start reading and stop thinking. Okay, it's April 23. Please plan to join Sudbury Civil Groups, businesses, and residents in their annual efforts to spruce up the business districts, public areas, and parks. You can adopt a street or a park, and that's information about doing that is available on the Sudbury Town of Sudbury website. Participants are encouraged to use their own bags. No special type is required. And there are bags available through the Selectman's office for those who need them. Discussion of a few procedural matters before we get started. I hope everyone has reviewed the warrant in advance. Unlike some of the more beefy warrants that are circulated in connection with the annual town meeting, the special town meeting warrant is somewhat attenuated and doesn't have the list of procedural primer that is usually in the warrant. So if I can just take a show of hands, how many out there is this your first town meeting? Okay, so there's a couple. So let's just go through this quickly, and if there's questions about procedure from anybody who hasn't been to town meeting before, please feel free to stand, raise your card, raise your voice, make it be known that you have a question. I'm happy to address it. Please turn off all your cell phones and other devices that may emit noise of any kind. Each time you address the hall, please begin by giving your name and address clearly in order to assure an accurate record of the proceedings. If you desire to be recognized, please raise your card. Do not stand at microphones. I'll be able to see you if you raise your card, and I'll have a Boy Scout bring a microphone to you. All motions of substance, and that includes main motions and motions to amend a main motion, must be delivered to me and the town clerk in writing before they are made. Also, you should give a copy to Mark Thompson, the gentleman in the red shirt, at the view graph in front of the hall. When you make a motion or an amendment, you must do so when first recognized and not at the end of a statement or a question. I caution you that because Articles 1 and 2 are structured in such a manner as to require an up or down vote, I am inclined strongly to determine that any motions to amend with respect to Articles 1 and 2 will be out of order. Only registered voters of the town and non-resident town employees and regional school employees and our elected state officials may speak without leave of the hall. Non-residents are required to sit in the last two rows to the left or right at the back of the hall. We'll discuss this further in a minute, as there are a few gentlemen from Minutemen who have asked me for permission for the hall to give them permission to speak tonight. Please be reminded that if you speak on articles, the bylaws state that presenters will speak for a maximum of 10 minutes and speakers for a maximum of 5 minutes. For presenters, there will be a 5-minute warning buzzer. Kindly plan your time accordingly, as requests to exceed these limits are not granted freely. Having said that, please keep in mind that our time together here is precious, and it is incumbent upon us to respect that fact. Brevity and succinctness are appreciated, and it's rarely necessary, in my opinion, for presenters and speakers to speak for the entire allotted time. Unless you move in the words of the article as printed in the warrant, every presenter must tell the hall of any word changes in the motion and how they differ from the words that the voters saw in the warrant. Vote counting takes considerably longer in this auditorium because of the very long rows and there are no aisle breaks. Please do not ask for a head count by tellers unless you are sure that I have miscalculated. I assure you that unless the standing vote is obvious, I will call for a head count by the tellers myself. The percentage of vote required for a passage of an article is set forth in the warrant next to each article. I will also remind the hall of the percentage vote required before we vote. Finally, let us all be mindful of the duty that we have to treat our fellow citizens with courtesy and respect, no matter how strongly we may disagree with their point of view. To that end, I do not allow clapping, hissing, booing, or other audible noise for or against any speakers. Speakers may not make disrespectful comments, whether directed at a voter, a speaker, or a town official. If you do so, your right to speak will be terminated. My job as a moderator is to ensure crisp, robust, and fair discussion on all articles and to foster a healthy and respectful clash of ideas. Your job as citizen legislators is to state your views firmly but responsibly. While I have the utmost faith and confidence in those of you who care enough about Sudbury to devote your time tonight, failure to adhere to these parameters will be dealt with firmly. I am granted by state statute certain powers of the moderator, and they're outlined in General Laws Chapter 39, and I want to read this for you so everyone is clear. No person shall address a town meeting without leave of the moderator, and all persons shall, at the request of the moderator, be silent. If a person, after warning from the moderator, persists in disorderly behavior, the moderator may order him to withdraw from the meeting. And if he does not withdraw, may order a constable or other person to remove him and confine him in some convenient place until the meeting is adjourned. I'd like to introduce you to Officer Griffin and Officer Longo. In my experience, such draconian measures are rarely necessary, and I would hope never to have to take that kind of action in this hall. Okay, on to the substance. Now, in many towns, the moderator reads each article in full and all of the procedural documents as they are reached. While once this was the case in Sudbury, in recent years we've adopted the practice of omitting the reading with the consent of the hall. Therefore, I would ask for a motion to dispense with the reading of the call of the annual town meeting, the officer's return of service, and the individual articles of the warrant. Do I have a motion? Is there a second? Does. Okay. This requires a majority vote. All in favor, please raise your cards. All opposed? That passes unanimously. Now, as you know, Articles 1 and 2 on the special meeting warrant pertain to Minuteman Regional Vocational School District. Two Minuteman representatives have requested permission to address the hall this evening. They are Kevin Mahoney and Jeff Stulen. Mr. Mahoney is the Assistant Superintendent of Finance at Minuteman. He has a B.S. in Accounting from Northeastern and an MBA from Suffolk. He has served in administration and finance for a variety of public and private organizations since the late 1970s and has served as an Assistant Superintendent of Finance at Minuteman since January 2013. Mr. Stulen is the Town of Needham representative to the Minuteman Regional School District, and he's been on the high school school committee since 1999 and is currently the chairman. He's a math and computer science teacher at Newton South High School. He has an MBA from Babson, a master's degree in computer science from the University of Connecticut, and a master's of education from Boston College. Can I have Mr. Mahoney and Mr. Stulen just rise so that the hall knows who they are? Mr. Stulen's on my right. Mr. Mahoney is on my left. Now, as you know, Article 2, Section 6 of our bylaws provides that non-residents may not address town meeting without the consent of the hall. In order that the voters tonight have all the pertinent information necessary to consider Articles 1 and 2, I would suggest a motion authorizing, first, Mr. Mahoney, if recognized by the moderator, to address the hall. Do I have that motion? Is there a second? Majority vote for this to pass. All in favor? Any opposed? That passes nearly unanimously. Similarly, I would ask for a motion authorizing Mr. Stulen, if recognized by the moderator, to address the hall. Do I have that motion? Is there a second? Majority vote. All in favor? Any opposed? That passes nearly unanimously. We can all learn how to do this job better, and the town clerk has instructed me that it would be much better for the record if I said that those last two motions passed by well more than a majority. And they did. Okay, on to Article 1.
Mr. Moderator.
Yes.
Mr. Moderator, on behalf of the Board of Selectmen, by a unanimous vote by the board, I request that an article be taken out of order. I request that Article 2 be taken first for the following reasons.
Wait a minute. Are you making a motion under the bylaws to take Article 2 before Article 1?
Yes.
Okay. Can you make that motion and see if we get a second?
A motion to on behalf of the Board of Selectmen, to take an article out of order.
Does that receive a second? It does. Mr. Simon, would you like to speak in favor of that motion?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Moderator. I move that Article 2 be considered first for several reasons. First, I believe it is more logical to consider that question, that is, whether the town wishes to withdraw from the Minuteman District. Because to do so, to approve the second article first, then gives us the pathway to that withdrawal. So if the town says we do wish to withdraw, then Article 2 is the actual way to effectuate or to make that happen. The second reason is that if the town decides not to withdraw, then the town would need to consider which of the regional agreements the town would wish to operate under as a member of the Minuteman District, that is, the original agreement as modified or the new agreement with the proposed modifications. And I think that for those reasons, it would be more appropriate to take Article 2 as the first article and then to proceed to Article 1.
Anyone else wish to be heard in favor of the motion or opposed to the motion? I see no one. According to Article 2, Section 8 of our bylaws, a motion to consider an article out of order must pass by a 4/5 vote of the voters present at the meeting. So I understand that the Board of Selectmen unanimously supports this motion. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Does the town, does the Finance Committee have a position on this motion?
The Finance Committee is
taking the articles out of order.
The Finance Committee supports the motion. Okay. Let's go do a vote. This takes a 4/5 majority. All in favor of taking Article 2 prior to Article 1, please raise your hands. Raise your cards. Okay. All opposed? All right. Once again, I'm learning every day. Town Council informs me that in order to determine whether there's a 4/5 majority, I need to count it. So I would ask everybody in favor of the motion to please stand and hold your card up. Okay. All in, you can sit down. Everyone opposed to the motion, please stand. Okay. Thanks. Okay, the tally is voters in favor of the motion, 137, voters opposed, 16. I need to do a little quick math here, but I think that's 4/5. 137 over 16? 4/5? Okay. All right, motion passes. Article 2. Melissa Rodriguez, Murphy Rodriguez, for a presentation, please.
Melissa Murphy Rodriguez, town manager.
Once again, town council suggests that because Ms. Rodriguez is not a town resident, she cannot appropriately make the initial motion. So do I have a motion from a member of the Board of Selectmen under Article 2?
See if the town will vote to withdraw from the Minuteman Regional Vocational School District effective July 1st, 2017, contingent upon the acceptance on or before March 1st, 2016, of all of the current members of the Minuteman District and the approval on or before December 31st, 2016 by the Commissioner of Education of the amended regional agreement dated December 21st, 2015, which has been submitted to the member towns by the Minuteman Regional Vocational School Committee.
Does that receive a second? It does. Ms. Rodriguez for a presentation.
Moderator, the town respectfully requests to give the presentation for both Article 1 and Article 2 collectively, if that would please the moderator.
You may do so.
Thank you. So why are we here tonight having this special town meeting? All 16 towns in the Minuteman Regional School District must hold a special town meeting to approve a new version of the Minuteman Regional Agreement. Those towns which have indicated an intention to withdraw from the district, which includes Sudbury, also need to obtain town meeting's approval to effect withdrawal. Accordingly, tonight, we will be considering, one, whether to approve the new regional agreement, and two, whether to withdraw from the Minuteman District, except we'll be doing it in the opposite order. So, Article 1, amendments to the regional school district. What is a regional agreement? A regional agreement is a document that establishes a Massachusetts regional vocational technical school district. In other words, it tells us who's going to be on the school committee, who's in the district, what do we pay. It's the governing document. Why do we need to change it now? The old agreement was adopted in 1970 and amended in 1980. Over the past 35 years, there's been many attempts to change the regional agreement, but they have all failed. It is important to make changes now due to the impending bond for the school construction. Article 1, the regional agreement, what is different? Enrollment will now be determined using a four-year rolling average of enrollment rather than just the previous year's enrollment as it is now. The school committee votes, including those that approve the operating budget, will be weighted based upon enrollment from the member town. A member community will be permitted to withdraw if approved by a majority of representatives in the school committee. Currently, in order to withdraw, you have to be approved by all 16 member communities at town meeting. The responsibility for the capital budget will now change. It will be 50% based on the four-year rolling average enrollment, 1% automatically paid by each member town, and the remainder will be determined by factors outlined by the state. A member town will pay the capital cost for at least one student, even if they have no students attending Minuteman. Each of the member towns will have to approve any borrowing by the district at town meeting, Currently, if we don't act, the bond goes forward. If we do act by having a town meeting and voting, the bond could either go forward or fail, depending on the vote. The regional school must be located in a member town or within 5 miles of the intersection of Route 2 and Bedford Road in Lincoln. Towns sending out-of-district students will be asked to pay a share of the capital costs, which is different than today. However, that cost may be set by the state at a lower amount than is requested by Minuteman. Finally, any town seeking to withdraw and announcing this intention by a vote of its Board of Selectmen will be named explicitly in the proposed regional agreement and must vote at town meeting, as we're doing tonight, to withdraw during the same town meeting at which voters approved the new regional agreement. Sudbury is one of those towns. 6 other towns are also considering withdrawal. We will be the first town to vote on withdrawal. This constitutes a one-time guarantee that if the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education approves the proposed agreement, Sudbury would be allowed to withdraw from the Minuteman District. What if I want to make amendments to the regional agreement? We cannot make any amendments to the regional agreement at town meeting. Any changes would mean that all 16 towns are voting on the same agreement, or not voting on the same agreement, and that would invalidate it. All 16 towns have to agree to the new, same regional agreement and pass at a special town meeting for it to go into effect. So we all need to be entering into the same contract. What if the new regional agreement does not pass? If the new regional agreement does not pass, Minuteman will continue to be governed by the old agreement that was amended in 1980. That means that if Sudbury decided it wanted to withdraw, it would have to withdraw under that old agreement and seek permission from all 16 member towns at town meeting. This path did not work for Leyland, which tried to withdraw and was blocked by Lexington. When would the new regional agreement go into effect? After it's accepted by all 16 towns and approved by the Commissioner of Education. And once that withdrawal is approved by the Commissioner, this is confusing, it is effective on the July 1st after the 1st December 31st after the Commissioner approves. So most likely it would be July 1st, 2017. So why are we considering this here at the special town meeting? Like I said, the Minuteman has asked all 16 member towns to consider this now and the potential withdrawal now in order to meet bonding deadlines set by the Massachusetts School Building Commission. Minuteman is seeking to bond a new $144.9 million high school this spring. If the school doesn't begin the process in the spring, it could lose $48 million in state funding for the school. Tonight, we're not talking about the bond, and we're not talking about the new school project, but it's important for us to understand the costs under each of the two agreements as we consider them. So under the old regional agreement, if all 16 towns stayed in the district, so looking at this basically in a vacuum, our yearly assessment in 2020 is estimated to be $999,825. The capital assessment included within that number is $295,096, or about $11,803 per student. Under the revised regional agreement that you'll be voting on tonight, if all 16 towns stayed in the district, our yearly assessment in 2020 would be $996,678. The capital assessment included within that number, $289,537, which is $11,581 per student. So you can see under the two agreements, there's a difference of about $4,000 yearly. Article 2, withdrawal of the town of Sudbury from the Minuteman Vocational School District. Remember, this will be the article that you'll be voting on first. Cost is one of the factors in the decision that we need to think about when we're trying to decide whether to leave the Minuteman School District. The cost of educating a student at Minuteman continues to increase, now costing us about $26,500 per student per year. The estimated capital cost for the new building will be at least $8,000 per student per year for 30 years based on the numbers that we've received from Minuteman. The total cost for one student in district at Minuteman will be about $34,500 per student per year beginning in 2020, which takes into account the cost of that new building. The cost of sending a student to Minuteman would be approximately twice as much as sending a student to Aspet Valley or Neshoba Valley. Sudbury's cost for 25 students to attend Minuteman are estimated to be at least $850,000 per year. The latest numbers that we received recently reflect closer to $1 million. Minuteman's fiscal year 2017 budget was over $700,000 to educate 25 students, approximately $28,000 per student. This includes transportation, which was $39,000 in fiscal 16, with an actual cost of $98,000 after the reimbursements from the state. If some TAOs withdraw, our operating assessment is expected to increase. Surrounding vocational schools cost approximately $16,000 per year for both in-district and out-of-district students, not including transportation. Out-of-district at Minuteman would be approximately $18,000 plus capital costs plus transportation. By comparison, Lincoln Sunbury costs about $15,000 per student, although the board and I recognize that it costs more money to educate a vocational student. Based on quotes, transportation, quotes that we received today, transportation would be approximately $1,780 per student. So the cost savings that we could see, the annual cost savings for 25 students at Aspen Valley versus Minuteman would be about $346,000. The annual cost savings of 25 students at Neshoba Valley versus Minuteman would be about $401,375. This anticipates that transportation cost at $1,780 per student. And these savings anticipate the 2028 Minuteman cost with capital. So that's the $34,500 number. The savings would be less until 2020, more around $200,000. So transportation costs. So for in-district students currently, what happens is that 60% is paid by the state and 40% is paid by the town. For out-of-district students, transportation is not included. Sudbury is responsible for the transportation costs, not the Sudbury parents, but the town of Sudbury. There is no reimbursement by the state, and the cost is dependent on the distance from Sudbury to the school, the number of students being transported, and whether we could share that cost with other towns. How would our Chapter 70 work? If we withdraw from the district, Sudbury will start to receive the Chapter 70 that is currently going to Minuteman. Towns typically receive $14,000 to $16,000 per vocational student, which means Sudbury would receive approximately $375,000 per year. Note that currently Minuteman is receiving this funding on top of the assessment that we're paying. Based on how enrollment is determined for Chapter 70, which means that they look at the students the year before, we may experience a gap year, and there's some things that we can do as a town to try to alleviate that. This is a side-by-side cost comparison of staying with Minuteman versus leaving. And so if you take a look at it, you can see that Aspen Valley, as out-of-district, would be about $19,367, including transportation. Keith Tech, as an out-of-district, would be $19,336, including transportation. Neshoba Valley, as an out-of-district, is $16,386, including transportation. And you'll see that that transportation cost is a little bit higher because Neshoba Valley is further.
Ms. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Your time is up. Can you tell me how much more time you need?
5 minutes.
Can you make it two?
I could talk really fast, but I will do my best to make it two.
Any objection to giving the town manager 3 more minutes to speak? I see none. Please continue.
Thank you. The Minuteman cost as an in-district is $34,500, and that includes transportation. I did have a conversation with a resident earlier who was a little bit concerned about the way this breaks down and was saying that maybe we should look at it more as the Minuteman out-of-district, the $17,000 plus the $2,000 plus the capital fee, and that's another way we could look at it, but I think the savings are still there. Why would it be important to withdraw now if we wanted to? It would be important to withdraw now before the new capital project is bonded, because if we don't withdraw now, we participate in the bonding, and then we later decide to withdraw, we still would be responsible for that bonding payment for 30 years. So we could withdraw and still have to pay the payment of $290,000 a year. By withdrawing now, we control our own destiny, and we will not need the permission of other towns to withdraw. What are the reasons not to withdraw? So if we withdraw and we send students to any vocational school without joining a district, we would not have representation on the school board. And the Board of Selectmen have said that their goal is to become a member of another vocational educational school district, but until we do that, we would not have representation. Additionally, the state would no longer cover a portion of our transportation costs, although those costs do appear to still be cheaper. What happens to the students currently attending Minuteman? The 25 students currently enrolled at Minuteman and those who will be enrolling as freshmen before we withdraw would be allowed to finish their education at Minuteman. So that means anyone in there, anyone starting in September, gets to stay until they finish. Students' rights. There's been a little bit of kind of misinformation, I think, coming out that if you're an out-of-district, you don't get to choose your programs. You don't get first choice. That's not true. So this is right out of the CMR, the Code of Massachusetts Regulations, and it says specifically that non-residents and students are entitled to the same rights and privileges as students who reside in the receiving school district. And they have the right to remain in the receiving school until completion of their program. Where could we go if our students withdraw? Neshoba Valley. It's 18.5 miles from town center. We've already talked about the amounts, and I know I'm on a time crunch, so I'm going to leave those out. Keefe Tech, 8.7 miles from town center. Aspen Valley, 9.6 miles from town center. And Minuteman, which is 11.7 miles from town center. And access to those schools would be based on availability when Sudbury requests to attend. So tonight, if we vote yes on the regional agreement and yes on withdrawal, like we said, DESE would approve the regional agreement or review it and approve it if all 16 towns agreed, and we would effectively be leaving the Minuteman District July 1st, 2017. We could have some students finishing at Minuteman with other students starting their education at other schools. We could be sending kids to two different places. If we approve the regional agreement but decide not to withdraw, and we assume that all 16 towns adopt a regional agreement, we would continue as a member of the district, and soon enough, we will be voting at an annual town meeting or a special town meeting regarding the bond. As that gets closer, we'd know more about the actual bonding cost, and we'd be locked into that 30 years of debt. Can we vote no on the regional agreement and still vote to withdraw? So the answer to that pretty much is no. If Sudbury did that, we would not be allowed to withdraw. The VEOC, and we can skip this one and go right to the next one to make it quick. Here we go. Okay, positions from the town boards and committees. VEOC voted to withdraw and support withdrawal and the new agreement. They all did. The Finance Committee voted to withdraw a new agreement. The Board of Selectmen, the Sudbury Public School Committee, and the Sudbury representative on the Minuteman School Committee. They've all voted to withdraw and for the new agreement. And that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you for your leave. I appreciate it.
Board of Selectmen have a position on Article 2.
Board of Selectmen unanimously supports Article 2.
Finance Committee?
Finance Committee unanimously supports the article.
Okay, at this point in time, I'm going to recognize Mr. Mahoney for a presentation. You may recall Mr. Mahoney is the Assistant Treasurer at Minuteman Regional High School. Are we having some technical difficulties? Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. I'd like to offer a few thoughts about vocational technical education in the area, as well as Minuteman specifically. We're seeing the more and more popularity in terms of students and parents and considering vocational technical education as a choice for their students moving forward. Just at the last State of the Commonwealth message, Governor Baker made note of the importance that vocational technical schools and the role that they play relative to workforce development, and we're starting to see more and more of interest, not only at Minuteman, but also some of the other regional schools that the town manager discussed in her presentation. I think some of this data is borne out by a survey we did by our guidance counselors within the district that says, you know, there's a strong sentiment that the perceptions about vocational education are changing, both in terms of how parents are feeling about it when discussing it as an option with their kids, and as well as student applications. And I think we're starting to see that in our applications moving forward. As we talk about Minuteman specifically, I'd just like to bring up some things of note that you may want to consider in terms of our fiscal controls. We're in very strong fiscal condition right now. Our most recent audit showed no management letter comments. We're starting to establish funding reserves in a stabilization account, and our excess and deficiency balance was about 4.25%, the highest it's been in 15 years. As was noted, the vocational technical school is basically two schools in one. Not only do we provide the the very robust academic programs, but we also provide a rigorous vocational technical program. So we look at that in some ways as a competitive advantage, because as you can see at a traditional high school, the honors, the AP courses, the college credits, the activities and sports are offered. Those programs are also offered at Minuteman, in addition to the 16 career and technical program offerings, where students can achieve industry certifications as well as state and professional licenses. One of the other things that we look at in terms of Minuteman is how our spending aligns with our member districts. As you know, our member towns are among the highest performing school districts in the Commonwealth. And to that end, invest quite a bit in education. So when we look at how Minuteman spends relative in terms of above net school spending is what we need to spend under the Chapter 70 requirements on a percentage basis, we're about 134% over net school spending, which is sort of on the lower end when you compare it to our member towns. When we look at our growth over the last 10 years, they've been less than some of the comparable schools that we've been talking about. We're at 17.8%. As you can see, Aspen and Shover have been much higher over that 10-year period. And when you look at our annual assessments, they've been just over 1% over the last 10 years, so 1.13 to be exact. Also, very proud to with what we accomplish with some of our students that require special education services. Minuteman has a long and distinguished history of serving this population, and I think that it's something that we need to point out. For two perspectives: student achievement, as well as a cost. So as you can see, 47% of our students receive special education services, as compared to Aspen at 32% and Neshoba at 36%. When we look at the cost on a per pupil basis, we invest in special education services about just under $4,600 per student. In Sudbury, we look at the student population that over the last 4 years, and as you can see, some of the students receiving these services, the percentage is higher than what the district average is. When we look at our special education budget, we commit about 14% of our operating budget to special education services. What are some of the issues that drive our per pupil cost? There are three major factors. We just mentioned one: our special education services. We dedicate a significant amount of that to of our budget to those resources. The other area is in terms of the salaries that we need to pay our staff to retain very highly qualified staff. Given the Metro West area, in order to attract industry experts to leave the profession to come into teaching, we need to provide a competitive salary. Also, on the academic side of the house, for our teaching staff, we need to be competitive with the other salaries that are being paid in our member towns, and that's a driver in our budget. The other piece is our school bus transportation cost. Our district, as you know, it's 16 towns. It's Arlington and Belmont to the east, and Dover to the south, Carlisle to the north, and Lancaster toward the west. So with the number of road miles servicing the 16 towns, when you're looking at some of the other vocational technical schools, I think they maybe six, seven, eight member towns. We service 16 member towns. And not only that, but given the location where the school is, the campus in Lexington being on the easterly side of the district, it does have an impact on our transportation costs. And as far as performance, we're very proud of our performance. We're very proud of what we do with our students. And just wanted to, despite some of the limits we have with our facility, and I think that we do quite well. Just wanted to share some of those results with you. In terms of SAT performances over the last 3 years, you'll see that in reading and writing, Minuteman has been of the schools being compared on the high end. The yellow denotes the high scores and comparing those results. Also, in terms of advanced placement scores, where students need to attain a 3 or better in order to receive college credit, we just started implementing this, so our numbers are low, but our success rate's high. Over 60% of the students achieve college credit for their test. And in terms of our staff, 91% of our staff are proficient, and our retention rate is at 85%. So we're very proud of that. So I think as the discussion goes on this evening, town meeting should carefully consider where vocational technical education is going, the popularity of it moving forward. As a member, your students are virtually guaranteed access to programs. As a non-member, there's not necessarily a guarantee that students will be able to access programs. Currently now, there is space. There's space in some of the schools you're considering. But I think over time, as enrollments start to increase, that space will diminish. Further, Minuteman is in the process, as was previously mentioned, is moving forward with the new school building project, where about 100 to 150 out-of-district slots will no longer be available there today because we're making the school smaller. So I think the question of access is something that in the long run really needs to be carefully considered in order to guarantee students from Sudbury an opportunity for vocational technical education. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Mahoney. Okay, who wishes to be heard on Article 2? Raise your cards, please. Mr. Woodard.
My name is Chuck Woodard. I'm a member of the Board of Selectmen and formerly a seven-year member of the Finance Committee. I think Melissa did a very good job of going through our options and the costs of the various options. And cost is important, extremely important. The $350,000 to $400,000 a year that we can save by exiting Minuteman could do a lot for Sudbury. If you consider, just as an example, last year we strained to find $100,000 in order to avoid layoffs at LS. And those savings are available by attending another VOTEC school in the area of equal or higher caliber. So significant savings, no loss of quality. But there's another issue that I think is equally important here that I want to share with you, and I'm speaking now for the board, and this is something I think we can say that Melissa really should not be in the position of having to say. And that is, we think an important reason, very important reason to withdraw is our total lack of confidence in the management of Minuteman, both in the superintendent and the school committee. And I'd like to go through six very important issues that kind of bring us to this conclusion. First, just the very need for this $145 million building. It's a result of the failure to maintain the building. This has been going on for years. Minuteman has a building that's the same age as other Votech schools that do not need to be replaced. Secondly, in saying we needed to build a new one, they did not seriously look at the cost of renovating the old one. They presented numbers that purported to show that it would be more effective to build a new building, but by their own admission, those numbers were a guess. They included a 30%, that's 30% contingency. Secondly, the decision by the school committee and the superintendent to grow the student population with out-of-district students so that the member student population, member town student population, those of us that are members, is now down to 50%, just barely over 50% of the total. And what happens is the non-member towns pay less than the member towns. So if you're a non-member student, the tuition is less than $20,000 each. If you're a member town student, i.e. Sudbury, we pay $26,500 per student. That's quite a gap. That's not a gap set by Minuteman. School committee decided to increase out-of-district students. The state sets the tuition. So you've got that gap, and what happens is the net effect of that gap is you've got a $1 to $2 million subsidy from the member towns to the non-member towns. Not that we want to do it, but that's the state. The state sets the rate. So this was a very, I think, very unfortunate school committee decision. Thirdly, you probably all got this postcard this week sent by the superintendent of Minuteman. And this is a postcard sent to the residents of Sudbury asking you to vote no on the question of withdrawal. And I have to tell you, I'm personally appalled. Everybody on the board is appalled. This is, one, the fact that the superintendent would send this postcard. This would be the equivalent of our town manager on the eve of an override vote using town funds to send a postcard to all of you urging you to vote for the override, and then, to be consistent, providing reasons for doing so that are in some cases misleading and in other cases flat out incorrect. And after we saw this, these were sent to Wayland, we called the school and asked them to stop. This is before they arrived in Sudbury. They ignored us, sent them anyway. Fourth, Sudbury's member on the Minuteman School Committee, Dave Majerus, has complained loudly for years about financial mismanagement. He's been ignored. Fifth, the Board of Selectmen was asked last year to appoint a Sudbury rep to the Minuteman School Building Committee that was considering this $145 million building. We nominated Dave Majerus. He was rejected. They said, send someone else. And finally, the administrative cost per student at Minuteman at $2,100 per student is twice that of Assabet Valley and three times that of Neshoba Valley. So in closing, bad management is not good for the future of Minuteman. And we need to put our students and our money in a school where we have confidence in the administration and confidence in the future of the school. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Woodard. Who else would like to be heard on Article 2? Gentleman in the tan shirt.
My name is John Byrne. I live on Basswood Ave. Like many residents of Sudbury, when I first heard that we might want to leave Minuteman, I really didn't care. I shouldn't say I didn't care. It didn't really affect me. My son goes to Lincoln Sudbury. My daughter goes to Curtis, and the plans are that she will go to Lincoln Sudbury. And let's face it, that's why a lot of us chose to come to Sudbury, the school system. It's excellent. And I just thought it would maybe, the town's made a lot of good decisions about the schools. And I figured if they think Minuteman's not a good idea, then we probably shouldn't go that way. I ended up getting contacted from a friend of mine from Lexington. He was in the school committee meeting at Minuteman. And he said, John, in this meeting, they said that your town wants to be the first to bail on Minuteman. Do you have any idea why? I said, I don't know. I read a little bit in the paper, you know, that we want to bail. I guess it's money. I'll look into it. So I did look into it, and I called my friend back, and I said, from what I've read, there's a selectman, a school committee member appointed by the selectman or the town, and Manjeras, that just that he says the school's no good, it's no good for us, and he's convinced Len Simon that it's no good for us, and that's basically where the town's going to go. So Leo McGonigal, my friends, let me just tell you a little bit about Leo. Leo's son goes to Minuteman. He says it's the best thing that ever happened to his son. Leo McGonigal was retired Lieutenant Colonel, Army Ranger, Bronze Star in combat operations in Iraq. Taught at West Point. Right now, he's teaching at MIT for the last 10 years. He's the executive director of the Leadership Engineering Program. If there was anyone who knew and understood what it takes to educate a young mind and to turn that person into a leader, it would be Leo. And Leo just couldn't believe that the town was actually going to bail on him. And I said, and I learned a little bit more, and then I find that Manjeras, I don't know him personally, but he's in a feud with Minuteman's school committee. The chairman of the school committee wanted him censored. Others wanted a letter written to Sudbury saying to get a new one. Others saying we don't even listen to him. The point is that Manjeras wants Minuteman out, and why he'd be on the school committee when he wanted to destroy the system, the school, I don't know. But when I went over Leo, it just some of the things went over. SAT scores strong, academics are strong, 100% MCAS pass rate, 60-65% go to college. It's far above the other vocational schools. They learn state licenses before they get out of school. Advanced placement, Minuteman far exceeds the other schools. 65% of them score a 3-6, which allows them just to get automatic college credit. And I'll go over some of the other schools in a minute and where they are with their AP. Staffing, Minuteman has an 85% retention rate. Teachers want to stay there. And special education, Minuteman far exceeds the other school. 47% of these kids that are in Minuteman have some form of disability or special education. Well, I just want to talk about some of the other schools, the alternatives we've talked about. Neshoba in Westwood, that is an alternative. They're chronically understaffed, under-enrolled, and there's a reason for that. Kids don't want to go, and people don't want to send their children to Neshoba. 20% of the teachers in Neshoba are either needs improvement or unsatisfactory, according to the educator's evaluation report. In comparison, only 3% of Minuteman's are considered needs improvement. 95% of their AP students, this is Neshoba, score a 1-2. 95%. That means they're ineligible to get credit, college credit. In comparison, 65% of Minuteman's score is 3-6, which gives them automatic college credit. Neshoba, to me, isn't even an option. Assabet, good school.
Mr. Burns?
Yep.
Your time's up. How much more time do you need?
Give me, I'll give me 2 minutes.
How about 1 minute?
Okay. Assabet's a good school. Assabet has a waiting list from their own members. We're not going to be able to get into Assabet. Keefe Tech, good school. The superintendent, his kid goes a Minuteman. They've made no overtures at all to Sudbury for joining that system. The point I wanted to make is all about money. So basically, the town's saying, your kid should go to Lincoln Sudbury. If he doesn't, he's in big trouble. If your kid has a special needs, they're in real big trouble because we don't even have a plan to go to another school. We don't have it. You can say there's, you can, these people can tell you can go to another school. There's none out there right now unless you want to travel very far distances. Don't do this. Don't take it out on our children. They need Minuteman. It's going to be a powerhouse, a new school, and they deserve it. Just because your kid doesn't go to Lincoln Sudbury, give him a shot to go to Minuteman. Don't get out of the system, please.
Thank you, Mr. Burns. Who else wishes to be heard? Okay. Ms. Kablak.
Thank you. Jody Kablak, 46 Poplar Street. I just have a quick question after Mr. Burns brought up some of those issues is if we do withdraw from the district, are we allowed to send children there as out-of-district students?
Who would like to address that? Mr. Simon.
Thank you. That's a very good question. And the short answer to the question is...
Mr. Simon, before you get started, I recognize you for the purpose of addressing the question posed by Ms. Kablak. I did not recognize you for the purposes of giving a presentation.
I'm not going to.
Okay. Thank you.
The question was, can students who withdraw from Minuteman, if we are not a member of the district, can students continue to go there? Or was your question, do we have other options? Yes, they can. They can continue to go there. There is space available at Minuteman, and in particular, over the past 10 years, the population at Minuteman, the number of students, has decreased by 17%. So there have been a lot of vacant seats at Minuteman, and there's a reason for that, some of which Chuck Woodard referred to. So the answer is yes, that they could continue to go there. And as students, whether in district or out of district, under Massachusetts regulations, all students have equal opportunity at the selection of the courses they wish to take. So there's no advantage in that way by remaining at Minuteman. That it would go whether we are a member now or send students as out-of-district students to Minuteman. Yes, they could stay there.
Thank you, Mr. Simon. Anyone else wish to be heard? This gentleman right here. Can you get him a mic, please?
Dave Jacob, 328 Old Lancaster Road. My question is, if we vote to withdraw in Article 2, does that mean that we actually can withdraw? I keep sensing that we have to have 16 other districts agree, or 15 others agree with us. I'm just curious how that plays out if we say yes and some of the others don't, like the situation with Lexington you mentioned earlier.
Okay, good question, Mr. Simon.
The issue with Wayland was under the old agreement. Under the new agreement, Sudbury would need to both vote to withdraw and vote to approve the new regional agreement. In addition, the other 15 towns in the district would also need to approve the new regional agreement. So far, four have voted to do so. Five were on for last night, and those were canceled due to the snow. God bless you. Canceled due to the snow, and the remaining towns will vote by the end of February. None of the towns which have considered the new regional agreement have also considered whether or not to withdraw, at least as of this moment. Also, if all 16 towns, including Sudbury, vote to withdraw, the new regional agreement would need to be approved by the Commissioner of Elementary and Secondary Education, and the proposed regional agreement was sent to that commissioner, who gave preliminary approval, but it is not yet final and cannot become a formal decision until all 16 towns have voted to approve the new regional agreement.
Does that answer your question, Mr. Jacob? It does not. Do you have a follow-up?
If any town says no to the new regional agreement, it will not pass. All 16 towns must affirmatively vote to approve the new regional agreement for it to become effective. So if a town votes no or even passes on it, it will not become effective.
Does that answer your question? Okay. Who else wants to be heard? Right over here, the woman in the brown. Yes, please. Can you get her a mic, please? Thank you.
Jackie Kilroy, 3 Dakin Road.
Could you speak up and restate your name, please?
Jackie Kilroy, 3 Dakin Road. Can you tell me what percentage of the educational budget in total Minuteman makes up and how disproportionate it is to the rest of Sudbury education? Just ballpark.
Wants to field that one.
Andrew can correct me if I'm wrong, that Lincoln Sudbury represents about $22 million. SDS represents about $40 million, and maybe 44 at this point, and they are $740,000. Does that sound right to you? They say it sounds right. So thank you. Sure. So Lincoln Sudbury is approximately $22 million. SPS is around $40 million, and they are currently about $700,000, Minuteman.
Okay. You need to speak into a mic, please.
So it's a very small piece of the education budget.
It's a very small portion of our education, our total education budget, yes.
Okay,
okay.
Thank you.
Who else wishes to be heard? This gentleman right here.
Doug Cohen, 19 Robert Frost Road. I am a former Finance Committee member, had Mr. Mangera's report on Minuteman for a number of years and wanted to dispute some of the claims that the gentleman made earlier. Mr. Mangera's was looking out for Sudbury's best interests, which in often cases are not aligned with Minuteman's best interests. So the dynamics that Mr. Woodard was talking about were the fact that there are a large number of out-of-district students that are being subsidized by towns like Sudbury, disproportionately subsidized compared to our larger peers in the district. It means that we are paying a lot of money compared to even some of the towns like Lexington and Arlington, who have a lot more students in the system. This, for me, is not a referendum on Minuteman as a school, the quality of education it provides. It has nothing to do with that. This is about Sudbury being able to take control of our own decisions, our own budgets, being able to do what's best for Sudbury, not what's best for Minuteman. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. This gentleman right here. Please make your way to a mic. That would be helpful. Thanks. Mr. Weisskopf.
Doug Weisskopf, 44 Stone Road. Full disclosure, I have a son at Minuteman right at the moment. My understanding is that a large part of the reason that there's so many out-of-district students at Minuteman is because it's a superior school to the other vocational options. That's the rumor on the street. That's what everybody will tell you. That's the reason that they're there. The place is a dump. Is it a dump because it wasn't taken care of all along the way? I don't know, but it's a dump. Yet it still provides an amazing education. And I think what's being overlooked here is once it becomes a new school, it's going to be extremely attractive to in-district. So the seats that seem like they're available are going to close up. So I think we should think long and hard about what kind of educational opportunity we're providing down the road to students who can't take advantage of Lincoln Sudbury. And we all know somebody who hasn't been able to take advantage of Lincoln Sudbury the right way. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Who else? This gentleman all the way in the back.
Greg Hamill, 16 Pine Street. The woman who asked about the finances per school, $20 million and $40 million and $700,000. Can we get a breakdown on per student those numbers are?
Did a member of the FinCom have a handle on that question?
I believe that the calculation for LS was about $15,000 per student. I don't have off the top of my head what it is for SPS, but I believe it's lower than that. And so it compares quite favorably to the cost per student. LS education and the SPS education compare quite favorably to the cost for Minuteman, which is considerably more per student.
Does that answer your question, Mr. Hamill? Okay. Who else? Who else wants to be heard? This gentleman right here.
Danny Bellum, 28 Maple Avenue. I, too, am a proud parent of a Minuteman, now junior, majoring in environmental science. I have to respectfully disagree when one of my other speakers says this is not about the students or the quality of the education. It is about the quality of education and the opportunity that these kids get. If you talk to any Minuteman parent, you'll get the same message. This is a quality education in a dump. I have to agree. But they do a great job in this dump of teaching our kids. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Who else? Right here in the front row. One. We'll do one and then the next.
Mary Polito, Horse Pond Road.
Please stand.
I have a question. So we could vote to remain within Minuteman and also vote for the new agreement. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And under this new agreement, it seems that there are several changes that would be favorable to the town of Sudbury and address some of the concerns that the selectmen have raised. Is that correct?
Is that a question? Okay.
Yes.
Who wants to address that question from the town? And then I'll have a member of the Minuteman representatives address it as well. Okay. Can you restate your question, please?
Okay. So under this new agreement that we're also going to be voting on, right, second, we're going to be voting on this new amended regional agreement. It appears to me that there are several things in this new agreement that would be of benefit to Sudbury and would perhaps address some of the concerns that the selectmen had raised regarding Minuteman, such as the costs for unfair costs for out-of-district students as opposed to in-district, and right, there's four different things in this regional agreement that seem to be offer some benefit. So we could remain within the Minuteman District and vote for a regional agreement that would perhaps benefit the town.
Ms. Rodriguez, do you want to address that?
So an option would be to remain in the district and to vote yes on the new regional agreement. And you are correct. There are many new aspects of the regional agreement that are positive for Sudbury. And that includes things like how the capital is going to be given out, that we get to have more of a voice on the budget, and many other things as well, including what you referenced, which was that the capital costs would now be going to the out-of-district students as well to alleviate some costs to Sudbury. So, yes, you could vote no to withdraw and yes on the regional agreement.
Mr. Stulen or Mr. Mahoney, do you care to address that comment? Okay. Can we get Mr. Stulen a mic, please?
You have to take into account both the new regional agreement and the new school building to demonstrate what the benefits would be to Sudbury. It's complicated. You have to take them both together because in a new, smaller school, of course, one of the issues brought up that I don't fully agree with was the disadvantage of having out-of-district students. With a smaller school, you're going to have far fewer out-of-district students. And because it's a new building, and I might talk about this in a minute as my own answer, obviously you're going to attract more kids from within the district. Therefore, some of the per-student costs may be coming down. So it has the potential for having a large impact on costs, but it's not 100% guaranteed. Correct. So you have to take them both together, both the new agreement and having a new building.
Okay, does that answer your question, Ms. Polito?
Answers that question. I have an additional question.
Can you stand, please?
Yes. So in terms of the transportation costs, were those transportation costs including, was that just the school day, or did that include the after of being able to participate in clubs and meetings? Currently, Minuteman does provide sort of extended day transportation and also sports buses. So did those transportation costs for all of the schools include additional busing?
Are you referring to the transportation component of Mr. Mahoney's presentation?
No.
Okay.
The one...
Ms. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Ms. Rodriguez, do you want to answer that? Oh, Mr. Simon.
I looked into the transportation costs for each school, both individually and as I visited two of the three schools and spoke with the superintendent at the third. The information I have is that for bus service to Assabet Valley would be about $1,778. That is for all bus service for all students to that school, assuming there were 25 students going.
So is that one round trip, or is that like at Minuteman, sometimes they have three opportunities to come home on the bus in one day? Is that just there and back, or does it include additional trips?
This is for one round trip per day. There would be an additional cost for if there were to be a second round trip in the same day. However, that cost would still be significantly less than the cost we're paying for transportation to Minuteman now. Both for, in fact, for Assabet Valley, Neshoba Valley, and for Keith Tech, a third option. And by the way, we would have options for all of those schools.
Okay, so one sort of last question. So we say the town votes to leave the school district, and now we're kind of like vagabonds in terms of vocational education. And we have no voice at any of the schools once that happens, because we won't be part of another district. Who in the town sort of coordinates all of the transportation and where students are going and all of that? What position or department is that within the town?
Well, you mentioned what would happen if the town were to be a so-called vagabonds. That is not our intention at all. The intention is to join another district as soon as we can. And with that, the additional cost of transportation would immediately go away, because we would be an in-district town for that particular school. The town has a responsibility of coordinating the transportation and the transportation costs. So we would like to recommendation of the various boards is to withdraw from Minuteman in the interim, send out-of-district students to one of the four schools, including Minuteman, and ultimately joining one of the other districts, probably not Minuteman, because of the capital cost of at least $8,000 per student per year.
Okay, so in the
okay, Ms. Polito, you've asked three questions. I need to move on. Can you hand the mic to the woman right next to you? And can you identify yourself, please?
Excuse me, I have a cold. My name is Debbie Peters, and I live at 9 Wilson Road in Sudbury. I'm here to read my son's college essay that is both beautiful and inspiring. It explains the importance of Minuteman to our children. His Common App essay said, "The first response that I received from my friends was, why? Vocational schools are for idiots who don't go anywhere in life. I had no immediate way to respond to this question. We had just seen a presentation from Minuteman Vocational High School, and I thought it was interesting. I soon learned that there was so much more to a vocational school. I learned that the weeks in Minuteman were different than a typical high school. One week we have academics, and the next we have our vocational studies. These alternating weeks repeated throughout the year. The thinking behind this notion is the hands-on training for some of the time rather than book training all of the time. This would get us more prepared for our college studies or the working world. People assume that those who go to vocational schools don't go to college. Actually, they get certified in the vocational field and get prepared for college at the same time. I have an Occupational Safety and Health Administration 10-hour certification and will be getting my Adobe Photoshop certification as well. I plan on continuing with college as well as getting more certifications that will be important for my future. When I first came to Minuteman, I didn't choose my major right away. I had to go through what was known as exploratory. This was a process of going through 22 different shops that Minuteman offered to try them out and see which one we would pursue for the remaining 4 years. When I heard that they had computer programming, I was fairly certain I wanted to make video games. Some of the shops I liked along the way were welding, robotics, engineering, environmental technology. The shop I chose, though, was design and visual communication, also known as DVC. In DVC, we do Photoshop, Illustrator, InDesign, and many more Adobe-related products. This is where I learned that my main interest and the major I would like to pursue in college is filming. A major benefit comes during your senior year. With good grades, you are able to go on co-op. This is a program that lets you go out into the real world and work a real job relating to your shop. A bonus is you get paid to learn while you work. I fortunately am a co-op and love it. I work at a local television station in Lexington, Mass. Called Lex Media. I film, record, and edit local events before they are put on television. It is my opinion, my first great step in doing what I plan to do in my future. Oh, the future. The concept of time amazes me. Art captures a point in time and keeps it there forever. This is why I like art. I particularly love cinematography and photography because they both use the concept of time the best. I want to film movies, and that requires quick reflexes, an artistic eye, and a strong sense of timing. I have all of these qualities. When I first came to Minuteman, I didn't know what I wanted to do later in life, but in due time, I have found my calling. I'm very sorry about my voice. I read this because Sudbury is very fortunate to be part of this district. Minuteman is a great school, and the update would mean great technology and advancements for future Sudbury students. I think that there are many kids who would benefit from a vocational school. Being part of a district would solidify that. There is definitely a perception problem for sending a child. I can say this because I was afraid to send my son 4 years ago, and what would people think? That's true. Now I'm thrilled. He has applied to 6 colleges, he has been accepted to 3, and we are waiting to hear from the other 3. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Peters. There's a case of Poland Spring right in front of Mr. Vani, if that would help you at all. That's okay. Who else would like to be heard? This gentleman right here. Yep.
Dean Casey, 85 Poconogat. We've heard quite a bit this evening so far about the pros and cons of the various school options that our children might have if we were to drop out of the Minuteman program. The one that we have not heard about, I believe, is the difference in the programs among the various schools that the options that our children will have going in the future. For example, is the new school to be built at Miniman going to provide new options, new programs, let's say in bioscience, computer science, robotics, whatever? And alternatively, by taking our students out of Miniman, are the other schools up to par in terms of the number and variety of programs that they offer?
Okay, I'm going to ask Mr. Stulen to address the question regarding the Minuteman curriculum. Do you have a? Can you get him a mic, please? And Mr. Simon, you can address the second part of the question.
I'll give you a partial answer to your question because I'm not an expert in comparing all the programs at the schools. One of the opportunities you have when you're building a new building is to look at not only the fact that you have a roof that isn't leaking, but you're looking at the way that you use the space, and in a vocational school, this is particularly important, because we're dealing with children who are doing kind of real-world activities, the spaces you have and how they integrate with each other is very important. And that can determine the kind of programs you can offer. Now, we're a small school, so we can't offer every program under the sun, but we are adding two new programs. One is advanced manufacturing, and another is multimedia, which covers all sorts of things, and from film and television and theater arts and all sorts of things. But even more importantly than that, you look at that $8,000 that you're going to be paying. Well, you're getting something for that. You're not just getting the fact that the building doesn't leak. You're getting the ability to re-envision how you're doing an education. Now, you had some statistics on how successful Minuteman is with the children, especially with a large special ed population. But what we're gaining for the money that we're investing in the school is the ability to change to an academy model in which some of the various career paths are able to communicate and coordinate their activities, also closer integration with the academic topics. So the fixing the leaky roof is one portion of what we're gaining for our whatever dollars it is per student. We're also gaining the ability to amp up all the programs that we currently have, which give you those statistical results, educational results that you've seen, to bring them into the modern world, to integrate them better together. And I think that what you're going to find is that it has some value having a brand new building with updated programs using modern teaching techniques, modern state-of-the-art equipment instead of what we had before. So partial answer to your question is it's very hard to compare and contrast every school, to go down a laundry list. You can't all give everything, but I'm very proud with both the programs we're going to offer, the current ones which we're going to amp up, and the new ones that are going to be made available to the children who are lucky enough to attend.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Simon, 30 seconds, please. Directed to Mr. Casey's question.
Yes, I will. In order to answer that, I think we need to take a look at the enrollment at Minuteman. If I could have the slide, either one of them. I'll get into this. One of the concerns that we have been looked at regarding Minuteman is a decreasing enrollment. Over the past 10 years, the school has decreased 17. It was on the disk in there. It's on a graph. Over the past 10 years, the school has decreased by 17%, and with a more... It's all right. Don't be concerned about it. More importantly, over the past 3 years, there's been a decrease of 10% in district enrollment from 440... to 356, to 396 as of today. That's concerning because the fewer the students there are at the school, the fewer the programs that can be offered. And Minuteman is shrinking. By comparison, I went to Neshoba Valley. That's been growing by about 3% per year. And Neshoba Valley does have an advanced manufacturing course. It is not something which they hope to have in the future. Additionally, Neshoba Valley recently added a veterinary tech program And that was done at the through Angel Memorial, providing almost all of the funding for it. So also, Assabet Valley has over 1,000 students. It has a greater number of vocational programs. Minuteman would be the new Minuteman under the proposed 628 seats, would be the smallest of vocational schools, and by definition would have the fewest number of available vocational education programs, simply because you need a certain number of students to fill those seats.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Call a question.
It's a little premature. This gentleman over here.
Lee Ovian, 48 Harness Lane. So I'm a manufacturing executive. I'm probably a minority amongst all you folks here. I work in industry. I support industry. I've been in industry my whole life. I want to tell you a couple things. You know, Minuteman is a program, is a school that is going to provide future jobs for our students that are coming through the elementary system now. Looking across the to the Lincoln Sudbury District, with no disrespect, not every student fits that model. And there are many students that I am aware of, as I've had my own children come through the program, who don't continue on into a four-year college program. They start for 1 year, they might go 2 years, and then they're done. And what people fail to realize is that right now there's a big need for highly specialized technical people. The need is huge. And the reason why Minuteman hasn't had the enrollment is because it hasn't been brought to the kids at a younger level. So when we start talking about higher technology for schooling as a choice, we should start talking when they're in the fifth and sixth grade, not when they're in the eighth and ninth grade. And the problem has, you know, exacerbated to the situation that we're facing right now. And I think that many of the residents in this town are looking at pure dollars and cents, and based on some of the stats that we've seen here, you know, I, for one, have an MBA, and I'm going through this process through finance, and I'm looking at the screens going, what plan, and how is this cost actually being put together? I'd really like to see a little bit more information to better understand what exactly is the new plan versus the old plan versus cost. And really break it down. I think this is a quick fix that we're having here tonight, and I hope that you guys in this room would take this into consideration, because a lot of the future for our, you know, students that are coming up, we go out of district, we try to get a seat at the table, they may not want us in, we may not get the kids into the programs that they want to be involved in. I work with Assabet Valley as well in their advanced manufacturing program. And I can tell you that they don't take a lot of people when they come in. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I'm going to take one more comment, and then I'm going to entertain a motion on the call of the question. This gentleman right here. Right behind you, sir.
Thank you. My name is Dave Mangeris. I've had the honor and the privilege of serving Sudbury as your school committee representative at Minuteman. I graduated from a very large high school of 5,000 students that had both academic and vocational programs. I took advantage of those programs myself. I have two sons that have given me four beautiful grandchildren, but they went through the Sudbury school system. One son, in fact, graduated from Minuteman, and we were very happy with the results. And he's also gained two college degrees. This is in 1988 when he graduated. I've been a resident of Sudbury for 35 years. I've been a Freemason for 40 years. I've been married for 50 years. So it'll give you an idea of what commitment I have to both family and faith. I haven't had the opportunity to meet this gentleman. I have worked with people on the school committee, on the FinCom, on the Board of Selectmen, and so forth. But I didn't know I had that much influence, and I didn't know I was on a witch hunt. If I was, then I was able to convince six other towns that are looking to leave Minuteman. But that's not my job. My job is here to represent Sudbury students at Minuteman. And I think there's a couple of statistics that you should be aware of that are very critical here. What wasn't on the presentations are mentioned by the gentleman from Minuteman or the school committee is that Minuteman has a rolling average of 70% teacher turnover. What's also critical is that the reason they've been able to keep such an awful number running is that those teachers that have been hired to replace the teachers that have left are also leaving. We're at the point right now where the school committee is going to have to select their third director of special education. This has been in my history of 7 years. I come to you as a parent. I come to you as a citizen. I come to you as, I hope, a fair person, because I do have a rough moral urge for fairness. And the fairness is not to out-of-district tuition students, which right now number about 250. The fairness is for our kids. And Minuteman has an 87% graduation rate. Neshoba Valley has a 98% graduation rate. Minuteman has a 4% loss of students that goes on and on. These are the statistics that you don't see, and I will just leave you with this. I am a very strong supporter of vocational education for our kids, for Sudbury kids, and over the last 7 years that I've been on this school committee, I have seen teachers complain. I have seen, in front of the school committee, I've seen parents complain. I've seen the students themselves come in and complain, and these complaints are never put on the agenda for the school committee to address and correct. And also, we have these financial problems that are going on. So yes, kids, some kids are being very successful in that, but there are a lot of kids that are being left behind, and I want to do something for once in the favor of our kids, because I can't seem to get reform through the school committee to make Minuteman a better place for our kids. So I will vote to leave the district so that we can give our kids a better vocational education future.
Thank you, sir. Okay, a motion has been made to call the question. Before I take a vote on that, I'd like to see a show of hands. How many people still wish to be heard with information that is new or that has not yet been shared with the hall? Can you raise cards if you're interested in being heard with new information? Okay, there's a couple. All right, so there's been a motion to call the question. Does that receive a second? Okay, this motion would require a two-thirds vote to terminate debate and move on to a vote on the main motion. All in favor of calling the question, please raise your cards. All opposed? That receives a two-third majority, and we're on to a vote. A vote, an affirmative vote on Article 2 is a vote to withdraw from the Minuteman Regional District. So I would ask all those, and a majority vote is required in order for that motion to pass. So all those in favor. Thank you. Can I please call the election workers in to register their votes? Thanks. Yes, sir. Well, you're all here now. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Sorry, I misunderstood you. Okay. We all here? Excellent. Okay. All those in favor of Article 2, please raise your cards. All those opposed. The motion passes by well more than a majority. On to Article 1. Is there a member of the Board of Selectmen that's going to make a motion under Article 1?
Move in the words of the article.
Does that receive a second? Ms. Brown, what's the Board of Selectmen's position on Article 1?
The Board of Selectmen supports this article.
FinCom?
Finance Committee unanimously recommends approval of Article 1.
Who wishes to be heard on Article 1? Does anyone wish to be heard on Article 1? Yes, sir. Mr. Matthews. Wait, hold. Let's get a mic.
Kevin Matthews, Haynes Road. It's a pretty simple comment. We just voted for the First Amendment and now, for the first motion. And this one, in order to move that one forward, this one needs to be passed. So it makes no sense to have a positive vote on the last one and not to have a positive vote.
Thank you, Mr. Matthews. Anyone else wish to be heard on Article 1? I see no one. Let's move to a vote. This requires a majority. All those in favor of the motion under Article 1, please raise your cards. All those opposed? That passes by well more than a majority. Moving on to Article 3. Ms. Brown for a motion.
The Board of Selectmen moves to indefinitely postpone Article 3.
Does that receive a second? It does. Ms. Brown, do you wish to be heard on the motion to indefinitely postpone?
Article 3 addresses a request by Wayland, approved at their town meeting last spring, to withdraw from the Minuteman District under the 1980 regional agreement. That request has already been denied by Lexington Town Meeting, and since it needs unanimously to be approved, there's no point in spending any further time on it.
Does anyone wish to be heard on Article 3? I see no one. We're on to a vote. This requires a majority in order to pass. It's a motion to indefinitely postpone Article 3. All those in favor, please raise your cards. Any opposed? That passes unanimously. Article 4. Board of Selectmen for a motion. Oh, I'm sorry. Jim Kelly for a motion.
Move in the words of the article.
Does that receive a second? It does. Mr. Kelly for a presentation. Know when I should start your timer.
And that's why I'm not static, because I need you to I need to make sure I get all of my 10 minutes. Okay.
All right. Here
Thank
we go.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Thank you, everybody, for your patience on that. This is Article 4. This is the disposition of the old former police station on Route 20. This article is to request the voter's support and vote to sell the building and the property at 415 Boston Post Road, our old police station. As you know, we moved in to the new station on December 8th. It was a good day. There was a lot going on. We're pleased to be in the new station. I think the staff really appreciates the residents' support over the last several years, and it's the heat works really well. There's parking for the staff and for the residents who come visit the station, which is really a nice thing when you go to work and you have a place to park. This article will give the selectmen the authority to sell the building
And part of this is to limit some unnecessary expenses as we move forward. This is the old police station. This picture was taken before snow, but shortly after December 8th. It's a nice picture. I like it because the sign out front notes that the station has moved. So that was really a good day for Sudbury. This slide is from a presentation in 2012 during sort of the town meeting presentations made to move forward with the new station. And during that time, there was often questions raised, what are we going to do with the old station? And right here, we said, we don't know yet. We're not going to focus on what we're going to do with the old station until we vote to support the new station. Well, we did that. So just about a year ago, we started the process to get ready for last May's town meeting in order to decide what we're going to do with the station. So last May, there was an article that was presented to the voters that wasn't necessarily to sell the property or do anything specific, but it was to allow the selectmen the authority to move forward during the course of the fall and this winter and make the decision at a selectman's level. Town meeting did not like that idea. They wanted that issue heard here at town meeting. So that's why we're here tonight. We're here tonight also not in May, because the sooner we make this decision, I think the sooner, as you will see, we will alleviate an unnecessary expense. So part of that preparation last May was to do a survey. The Community Development Department did an online survey so we could get residents' ideas on what to do and get ready to make a suggestion. There were five questions raised on the survey. One was to sell it to a private commercial developer. One was to lease it, close the building, wait for a new municipal use that we may have in the future, tear it down, make an open green space, or even tear it down and wait for a municipal use. So as you can see on this slide, the most popular response was to sell it to a private developer. So again, this article tonight does request that we sell the property. We'll capture the value of the land and hopefully soon start collecting taxes on redeveloped property. We had an appraisal done, a professional appraisal, and it was appraised at $750,000. We've had several people, developers, interested in the property and well aware of the appraised value, and I think well prepared to pay that. This article will also prevent us from perhaps having to spend additional funds to tear the building down and naturally avoid any increasing costs for just maintaining the vacant building. So the revenue, the taxes, this is a big deal. For comparison, the bank next door, the TD Bank, generates about $27,000 a year in taxes for the town. Another building across the street, the old Colonial Auto, a new bank, is also expected to create about $27,000 in tax revenue a year. Again, other questions asked during the course of the last year or so is, are there any other municipal needs that we need to consider this land for? Well, there are other municipal needs. There are other space issues. However, this land is very small. It's only 0.6 acres. We do have the public schools, the offices of the administration. We would like to move them out of the Fairbank for a future Fairbank redevelopment. The senior center and the park and rec are looking for new space. We had housing as an idea. We had a town museum, bus stop, green space. And just recently we had a resident who suggested a senior center would be in a better location. But again, the land is only 0.6 acres, and it's really, it's a little plot of land in a commercial district. And this is a map from our zoning bylaw. It's the Limited Business District number 6. You can see in the upper right-hand corner is the old police station. And this chart is from the zoning bylaw. All of our land that we own, or whoever owns it, is controlled and regulated by the zoning bylaw, so you can't do anything you want on your land. This land is permitted for office space, retail space, a restaurant could move into this property, and of course our favorite is a bank. And so, again, during the course of the presentations made with the new station, people asked if we did sell the property, could we use it to pay off the debt of the new station? Because we were going to borrow a lot of money for the new building, we could pay some of this off. We can do that. We could pay off a portion of the debt annually for the life of the debt on the new station. However, it would actually cost money to pull that bond in order to make that transaction. I'm looking at Andrew as the finance director, because this is a little bit out of my realm. But basically what we'd be looking at is saving the average resident, the average tax payer, tax bill, you know how we do that calculation, about $6 a year in taxes. So a better option is to reserve the funds for future capital projects. We would create an account and we would allocate the revenue generated from the sale of the station into that account. There'd have to be projects, capital projects of similar nature with at least a 5-year debt service. So a few buildings that we have to look forward to, you may hear more about in May, Community Senior Center, redevelopment of the Fairbank Community Center. Again, I mentioned the SPS administration offices. The fire station on Route 20, with the redevelopment of the Raytheon property, there's going to be a serious increase in demand on the fire department. This property on Route 20 is an opportunity that we are working to see if we can get some land from the new development company, and maybe we can renovate and improve the 56-year-old fire station. And then, of course, we don't want to forget the town hall. So this is a slide that I had trouble putting a title on, because I just really wanted to note the support. The selectmen support this article, the planning board supports the article, and the finance committee supported the article, however, not unanimously. Again, it's nice to see that new building, and nice to be talking about this issue. It's nice for me not to be asking for money. Most of the articles I present cost the town money. This is a good chance to say that we can actually make some money. So the next steps is, if the article doesn't pass, we need to look forward to the capital project of tearing the old building down. If the article passes, we'll start with a public procurement to sell the building and the property. We'll choose the most advantageous, which is the highest bidder. We'll look forward to collecting the taxes on a redevelopment project, and then we'll put the funds into an account for future capital projects. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Well timed.
Thank you.
Ms. Brown, where does the Board of Selectmen stand on this article?
The Board of Selectmen unanimously supports this article.
Mr. Semple, how about FinCom? Jose, sorry.
The Finance Committee recommends approval of Article 4 by a vote of 6-1.
Anyone wish to be heard on Article 4? Could I ask the tellers to come into the room for the vote, please? And yes, you may stand. Before we take this vote, and I'll take a motion to adjourn and dissolve after the vote, but I just wanted to thank all of you again for coming out tonight. I know the weather was challenging. I appreciate you taking the time to be here. I also would like to thank very sincerely all of the town staff and officials for doing all the hard work necessary to make this happen. Don't forget, I look forward to seeing you at the annual roadside cleanup, which is not next Saturday, but rather April 23rd, as well as at annual town meeting, which will commence on May 2nd, 2016. So with that, we're ready to proceed to a vote on Article 4. This article requires a two-thirds vote to pass. All those in favor of the motion under Article 4, please raise your cards. All those opposed? The motion passes by well more than a two-thirds majority. May I take a motion to adjourn and dissolve the special town meeting?
Mr. Moderator, yes. may I have one comment, if I might?
I have a point of order, please. Just Mr. Simon.
I'd like to thank an unsung hero in this room for his work over the past 7 or 8 years to bring to the Board of Selectmen and to the town the important matters which we have talked about tonight. I'd like to personally thank Dave Mangeris. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Mr. Moderator.
Okay, you're welcome. So this a motion to adjourn and dissolve, does that have a second? It does. All in favor, please raise your cards. All opposed? Thank you very much.